This is a Squiz podcast. We're your shortcut to being informed.
This week, our podcast is brought to you by Aware Super. Regardless of whether retirement is 2 or 20 years away, Aware Super can help you get a plan in place to live your best retirement. Visit aware.com.au to find out more. Good morning, I'm Alice Dempster.
And I'm Siobhan Moran McFarlane.
It's Friday the 12th of April. In your Squiz today, Albanese's plan for Oz's future, some sluggish voters in Sydney, Prince Harry's new legal case, and we have a new dog father. This is your Squiz today. If you saw a bit around on PM Anthony Albanese's Future Made in Australia Act yesterday, in a nutshell, it's a proposal for a taxpayer-funded scheme to increase manufacturing and clean energy projects here in Oz. And Siobhan, it also coincides with the push towards green energy.
That's right. So existing schemes like the Hydrogen Head Start, Solar Sunshot and the National Reconstruction Fund will all be brought under this banner. But it will also involve new projects. And Albanese says we need this plan to boost investment, create jobs and seize the opportunities of a future made in Australia. Now that is especially after 4 years of pandemic, wars, supply chain issues, and financial crises, which, it goes without saying, have really wreaked havoc across the world. So essentially what Albanese wants to do is reduce our reliance on other countries.
Yeah, and to do that, he says we need to get our share of international investment in the clean energy and high-tech manufacturing spaces going forward. So the idea is to make Australia more competitive, and particularly with something called the US Inflation Reduction Act.
So that was launched by President Joe Biden in 2022, and it's putting $500 billion into American industry's hands. It involves spending that money to support US-based clean energy and manufacturing with tax breaks and subsidies for businesses and projects in those areas. And it's really considered a threat to Australia's renewables industry. Albanese says he won't match the US dollar for dollar, but he believes the government can create an environment where we can absolutely compete for international investment.
Coalition leader Peter Dutton is dubious, though. He reckons Albanese's plan is peddling false hope because he says local manufacturing costs are rising under Labor. Of course, we're about a month out from the federal budget on the 14th of May, so this is likely to come up again. Victorian police kicked off a new search for 51-year-old Ballarat woman Samantha Murphy's body yesterday, Siobhan, after they received what they said was intelligence derived from a number of sources.
Yes, but they've again failed to turn up anything of note. That's despite police using cadaver dogs, which came in from New South Wales police for the first time. They scoured part of Enfield State Park, which is about 25 k's south of Ballarat. Now, Murphy, of course, disappeared during her morning run back on the 4th of February, and police allege that she was killed on that same day. A Ballarat man called Patrick Stevenson was later arrested and he's been charged with her murder.
Yeah, but so far he hasn't assisted police in their search for Murphy's body. Reports say a smaller search is expected to resume today. Siobhan, the Electoral Commission is concerned about low voter turnout for tomorrow's by-election in the southern Sydney seat of Cook. That's, of course, former PM Scott Morrison's seat. He resigned in January.
Yes, so nearly 112,000 people are eligible to cast their ballots, Alice. But Electoral Commissioner Tom Rogers says early voting numbers are down by over 11% compared to the 2022 federal election. Now, low levels of campaigning might be to blame, and that's because Cook is considered a safe Liberal seat, and its candidate, Simon Kennedy, is expected to win. He's facing challenges from 5 other candidates, but none of them are from Labor because they aren't even bothering to contest the seat.
Rogers says failure to vote may result in a fine, but Siobhan, I really think it's a failure to secure a bonus democracy sausage, really.
The most important part of any election, Alice.
Prince Harry is back in the news. A lawsuit over whether he lied on his US visa application about his drug use has gone right up to the White House. US President Joe Biden's administration lawyers say that they've handed his documents to a federal judge for review.
Yeah, so this has come about after legal action was launched by a conservative think tank called the Heritage Foundation. It claims that Harry's autobiography, called Spare, proves that he lied to US authorities about having used drugs. If you haven't read the memoir, in it, Harry lists a number of illicit substances that he's taken over the years, including magic mushrooms at a party at Courtney Cox's house. Now, the foundation argues that the public has a right to know if he was given special treatment and says he may have breached US federal law and he should lose his immigration status if he really did take drugs.
And former President Donald Trump has also weighed into this. He says he wouldn't protect Harry if he wins a second term as president because he had betrayed the Queen. Siobhan, I love dogs, but I cannot imagine mine having more than 300 puppies. But that is exactly what's happened with a golden retriever in the UK. He's been dubbed the dog father.
Yes, so that was across 39 different litters, one of which had a record-breaking 16 puppies, Alice. But far from being just a bit of a rascal, the dog named Trigger actually is part of a charity breeding program that helps to breed new dogs for visually impaired people across the UK. So it's really nice. And after fathering 323 pups, he's decided to retire at the age of nine, which I'm told is about 61 years in dog years. So I think that's fair.
Yeah, I reckon. Charity Guide Dogs said Trigger's progeny had brought independence and confidence to the lives of blind and partially sighted people all over Britain. And there are also hopes that one of his offspring, Billy, will continue his legendary legacy. What a good dog. Friday Light, Siobhan, what have you got for us today?
Well, Alice, it's National Grilled Cheese Sandwich Day today in the US. So I've been tucking into some kimchi jaffles to celebrate the joy that is toasted bread, melted cheese, and spicy Korean fermented cabbage. It's a bit of a modern take on a classic, and it's super easy. It's got like four ingredients. So it's absolutely perfect for a lazy Friday night when you just can't be bothered to turn on the oven.
Yeah, sounds delicious. I'll pop a link to that recipe in our episode notes today. And just to quickly mention, if you haven't done so yet, please leave us a review on your favourite podcast app. It really helps other people find us, and we'd really appreciate any nice comments if you have them for us. That's us done for today. We hope you have a great weekend, and we'll be back with you on Monday.
Hi there, it's Bryce Corbett here from Squiz Kids. It's been a big couple of weeks for news, and one thing that's emerged is the increasingly concerning role that mis- and disinformation are playing in the wake of big news events. It's why there's never been a more important time for our kids to be taught to be critical consumers of media. It's also why we created NewsHounds, a fun 8-part podcast series with accompanying classroom workbook to teach primary school kids how to spot misinformation when they come across it online. It's already being used in over 2,000 classrooms around the country. To make sure the kids in your life are among them, get their teacher to head to squizkids.com.au and sign up for a free account. You're very welcome.